Track 3. BBC Look East presenter Susie Fowler-Watt can't wait for the Hostry Festival.
I'm not ready for autumn. I feel a bit cheated out of summer, to be honest. It came and went without much fanfare, or sun for that matter, and here we are turning the corner and heading towards short, dark days again. So it's important at this time of year to have things to look forward to. My big shout-out this month is for the Hostry Festival in Norwich, of which I'm a proud patron. This annual celebration of the arts is itself celebrating its 10th anniversary. It's grown into an amazing event through October and November, with famous speakers, premieres of plays and fantastic music. One of the highlights this year will be the debut of the African Choir of Norfolk, led by the creative powerhouse Anna Mudeikar. Although the choir have been singing together through the pandemic, this will be the first time they'll take to the stage together. We can expect iconic African songs with dancing, drumming, ululation and a lot of audience participation. I will also be taking to the stage to host the Norfolk Arts Awards alongside Becky Jago from Anglia TV. As Becky and I present rival regional news programmes, people often expect us to be rivals. In fact, we're great friends, but this will be the first time we've actually worked together. We'll be celebrating the people and organisations who are responsible for the thriving art scene in the county. So, as the nights start drawing in, plan to go out. If you haven't already, do check out the festival programme at hostryfestival.org. The BBC, along with most large organisations, had to completely rethink its office layouts and staffing models at the beginning of the pandemic. The Look East newsroom changed from a big open-plan office with people vying over desks to a small core of people who were essential to the normal outputting of the programme. Obviously, nothing about this was normal for us. We went to single-headed presentation and had to work with a bare minimum of staff in the output areas. There's been a maximum of one desk in a row of four occupied at any one time. Our editor went around with a 2-metre ruler, measuring and marking out the floor and one-way walking systems. We've got used to it now. In fact, I think our news meetings may even be better, as instead of crowding into a physical room, we are on Zoom and all those on the road or working from home can join in. My husband Alex is one of those who works mainly from home. As a reporter who can film and edit his own work, he only needs an internet connection to send his reports back to base. In our village, that is sometimes easier said than done, as anyone with rural connectivity issues knows. Our neighbours seem to have better Wi-Fi than us, and many an evening Alex has rushed round there with his laptop to send his film from their garden. If they're in, they'll reward his efforts by bringing him a glass of wine, which he normally needs after a long day's work. For some, the working from home option has been a positive development. I have a lawyer friend who was commuting to London most days, but has spent the past 18 months working almost as productively from her house in Norwich. For young people especially, though, it sometimes meant a lonelier existence, cut off from the social buzz of the workplace, while often living alone. So now, as offices start to try to return to normality, the buzzword is hybrid working. Some people will be returning some of the time. My lawyer friend, for example, is going back to London 2 days a week. At the BBC, the idea is to gradually phase in the changes. Around a third will be office workers, presenters like me need to be in the studio most days, and the rest will be agile workers. Alex will relish this title. Some of the people I work with daily I have not seen in the flesh for a very long time. Hopefully their newly appointed agility will mean they'll be able to come into the newsroom occasionally. Shortage of desks is no longer a problem.